Scott has asked me to read in Psalms, Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, and the mountains fall into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters a spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Morning, everyone. So it's good to be with you this morning. It's been a little while since we've been talking about prayer. And last time we were talking about the Jesus Prayer, or Prayer of the Pilgrim. Just to test your memory, can someone say it? Lord. Yep, collectively we've got it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And some versions add, a sinner. How did you find that prayer? Was it meaningful to you? Yeah, I see some nods. Or did it feel like empty repetition? Might see some nods. No. Okay. Did you have trouble connecting with it? No. Okay. Was it comfortable or uncomfortable at the beginning, and did it change for you as time went on? Did it improve as time went on? Or did it get stale? Okay. See some nods. Yes. All right. I found that it was especially helpful in times where I didn't know what else to pray. You know, there's situations in life that we hear of or that we go through that really leave us without the appropriate words. And our heart cries out to God, wanting to express what we feel, but very difficult to verbalize those feelings sometimes. When we hear of a tragic situation or a circumstance that just seems insurmountable, simply calling out, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on that person or that situation, is just asking for God to show mercy, because he knows far better than we do. We don't know what to ask necessarily, but when we ask God for mercy, he knows what kind, what type of mercy to give to that situation. The last time when we were talking about this prayer, I mentioned about the person who woke up from surgery, mouthing that prayer on their lips. We're instructed to pray without ceasing, and this is one of the ways that we can do that. We can pray constantly, or almost constantly. What if our reaction to every terrible thing we hear on the news was, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on that situation, instead of shaking our heads and going, oh, that's terrible. That's so horrible. There's bad news all around us. But what if we called for mercy? Rather than expressing our frustration with all the societal ills that we hear about. So hopefully you found this prayer to be helpful to you, and if it didn't fit you or didn't suit you, that's okay. We're moving on to another type of prayer this morning, and this one may be a better fit for where you are in life. So we're moving to Psalms, as you may have guessed, from the devotional reading this morning. Talking about reading Psalms and studying the Psalms as a way of prayer. And credit in part for this goes back to John Calvin. John Calvin was a reformer, and he leaned heavily on the Psalms for study and prayer. He's obviously not the first person to use the Psalms for prayer. Psalms as prayers go way back through the Bible, back into the Israelite times. So John Calvin is on good footing, following in that tradition of using the Psalms for prayer. He lived from 1509 to 1564, so this is 500 years ago, roughly. John Calvin lived a pretty short life, but he had a huge impact on Christianity and the Reformation. He said that the Psalms are an anatomy of all the parts of our souls. And he stated that prayer is the central thing that Christians are to do as part of our faith. He was a very serious student of the Bible and of the Psalms, and he wrote a commentary on the Psalms. And the preface to the commentary that he wrote on Psalms reads like this. He says in writing, "I've been accustomed to calling this book, I think not inappropriately, an anatomy of all parts of the soul, for there is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Or rather, the Holy Spirit has here drawn to the life all of the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, perplexities. In short, all the distracting emotions with which the minds of men," and I'm adding women as well, "the minds of men and women are wont to be agitated." So the Psalms, in his opinion, is a mirror of our own experience as people. Not to sound simplistic, but the Psalms to me are kind of like a multi-tool, the folding multi-tool that you can carry in your pocket. They serve as a prayer book, they serve as a hymn book, they serve as a book of wisdom, and they're also poetry, if you like poetry. There's something in there, in Psalms, for every person in every situation. Think about the Psalms. Do you get the sense that people of that day were having an easy time of it? No, these were not the good old days. You can see the universal struggle going backward in time, going forwards in time, and you can see it in our present day, in our current situations. Psalms are the voices of people from around 3,000 years ago that sound just like the cries of sorrow and the cries of joy and love from today or last week or last year. No one's chasing us with swords or spears, at least we hope not. But our hearts beat the same, and the struggles of the soul and the struggles of our lives are just as real now as they were in those days. When we think about Psalms, we might think about David sitting around writing them in his alternating times of trouble and then shouting out God's goodness and magnificence when things are good. But Psalms were written by multiple authors and across a very long period of time, almost 1,000 years. Something that we generally don't think about too much. The oldest Psalms were written in 1407 BC, so 1,400 plus years before Christ, and the youngest Psalms were written in 586 BC, so about 500, 600 years before the arrival of Christ. And there's a 400-year pause where none were written before the writing resumed. So this is a compilation that took a little bit of time, 1,000 years. John Calvin did not have a glossy, picture-perfect Christian life. He had a lot of struggles and persecution and illness in his short life, but he found himself in the Psalms. And these prayers and Psalms, songs were powerful and meaningful to him. The Psalms were important to him. He wanted to make them accessible and usable to others. He paraphrased them in French, which was impressive to me until I realized that was his native tongue. He paraphrased them in French and made songs out of them so that his congregation could sing them for worship time. When he preached, he often preached on a psalm. Eventually, he sat down and wrote a commentary on one of the psalms that he preached on, and people encouraged him to keep writing and write more commentaries on other psalms. In the end, he wrote commentaries for all 150 of them. Author Neil Hansen points out that most of the Bible speaks in God's voice, sharing God's perspective, whereas Psalms is God's people's voices speaking out in prayer to us. Psalms are the people's voice crying out in praise, crying out in sorrow and lament. No matter what the circumstance, there's a voice in Psalms for it. He also writes that in Psalms he sees overflowing joy, rapturous praise, all in reverence, peaceful stillness, but he also saw boastful pride, broken-hearted depression, vindictive rage, and lonely abandonment. This is life. If you turn with me to Psalms 40, take a look at that. David has the ability to pack so much into one psalm. Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. All right, so in this we see the theme of waiting for the Lord. He's waiting patiently. And then in verse 2, he's getting out of the slimy pit. He's lifted out. This is a theme of rescue. So we go from waiting to rescue. In verse 3, we have he's singing a new song. God has given him a new song. And now he is praising. So switch to praise. Continuing on to verse 4, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. So there's blessing here. Why? For trusting the Lord. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. Nothing can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. So here he turns to wonder. He's wondering at the Lord. He's marveling at the Lord, and he's giving God his praise. And verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Open ears, signifying he's turned to God. He's tuned in to God. And then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. My God, my law is within your heart. Again, emphasizing turning to God, being in tune with God, being in touch with God, desiring the will of God, wanting to do it. moving down to verse 9. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. This is a proclamation. He's proclaiming the Lord, proclaiming the greatness of the Lord, the saving acts of the Lord's righteousness and the Lord's faithfulness. He just wants to shout that out. And so we have all these, this building of blessing, of faithfulness, of being tuned in, of being rescued, of being lifted out of the muck. This is great. And so now we're down to verse 11, and now we switch gears pretty great again. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. But be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. So really a gear shift here in a large way, a turn. He's praising God. He's glorifying God. He's in tune with God, shouting out about God with proclamation. And now he's back in the, I'm in trouble. I need mercy. I'm in trouble. My sins are drowning me and piling on me. I can't see. My heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. There's just a powerful ebb and flow with David and his writing in this psalm and in other psalms. But God's faithfulness shines clearly through this. And you can see that David's faith is there, and he trusts God to come quickly and save him. I have a list here of 10 very well-known psalms, and a little challenge here is to see if collectively we can come up with the first line of each one of these. Psalm 23, what's the first phrase of that? Yep. Psalm 121. Yes, I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord. Psalm 62. My soul waits for God alone. Psalm 46. That one should still be fresh. God is our refuge. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, sorry. Do not be envious of evildoers. They will fade like grass. Psalm 1. Yes. Blessed is the man who does not walk with the wicked, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water. Psalm 40. I waited. Yes. Psalm 84. This is the basis for a worship song. It has courts in it. Yeah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord? A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Okay. All right, so the Psalms have a way of sticking in our minds, in our hearts. Those are some of the better known ones. So they are a great help to us. They draw us to God, and they come to us in times of great joy and also in times of sorrow and tribulation. So why study? Why can't I just listen to praise music all the time? What's the purpose of study? Do I really need to study the Psalms or study the Bible? A man named Guigo, G-U-I-G-O, guess that's his last name. I think this is around 13th century. He is a Carthusian monk, and this group of believers was known for saying, "The cross is steady while the world is turning." The cross is steady while the world is turning. So the scriptures and the cross, they're what steady us when all the rest of the world spins. Guigo writes about study. He describes scriptures, God's word, as food for us, as nourishment. And if you read through the Bible, you can't help but notice all the images of food. Food and drink and more food and more drink and more feasting and more banquets and more tables and meals. Guigo says that reading, and if you like the Latin, reading is lectio, L-E-C-T-I-O, lectio. Reading, as it were, puts food whole into your mouth. Meditation, meditatio, chews it and breaks it up. Prayer, oratio, extracts the flavor. And contemplation, contemplatio, and I'm taking my best guess at these Latin words because I don't really know how to pronounce them. So if anybody knows better, please correct me. So contemplation is the sweetness itself which gladdens and refreshes us. I'll just run through those again. So reading the scripture puts whole food in our mouth. Meditation chews it and breaks it up. Prayer extracts the flavor, and contemplation is the sweetness which gladdens and refreshes. Guigo also talks about the process of reading and meditation, and he compares it to winemaking. And this is a total tangent, but up until the Prohibition, local Mennonites and brethren were actually very good brewers and distillers. So in current day, we maybe don't have a whole lot of background in the brewing and distilling realm. But at one point in our history, we did. And if you know anything about winemaking, he's talking about winemaking and says that reading puts a sweet grape into your mouth, but then wanting to have a fuller understanding, the soul begins to bite and chew upon the grape as though putting it in the wine press while it stirs up its power of reasoning. Reading is the careful study of scripture, concentrating all of one's powers on it. Meditation is the busy application of the mind to seek with the help of one's own reason for knowledge of hidden truth. And prayer is the heart's devoted turning to God to drive away evil and obtain what is good. And contemplation is when the mind is lifted up to God and held above itself so that it tastes the joy of everlasting sweetness. The church father Athanasius said that all the books of the scripture, both Old Testament and New, are inspired by God and useful for instruction, and that probably sounds familiar to you out of 2 Timothy 3:16. but he says, to those who really study, the Psalms yields special treasure. Each of these books, you see, is like a garden which grows one special kind of fruit. But by contrast, the Psalms is a garden which, besides its special fruit, grows also some of all the rest. And the other strange thing about Psalms, he says, In the other books of Scripture, we hear or read the words of holy men as belonging only to those who spoke them, not as if they were our own. But with Psalms, it is as though one's own words that are read, and anyone who hears them is moved at heart, as though they voiced for him his own deepest thoughts. The author of the prayer book writes that most people do not know how to study the Bible. He says, are we studying the Bible, or are we using the Bible as a launching pad for personal sharing? Thought that was a good point to consider. Are we studying the Bible, or are we using the Bible as a launching pad for our own personal sharing and discussion? Obviously, there's room for both. Calvin wrote about Augustine. Augustine is quoted as saying, people write as they learn, and learn as they write. So who are the people here who learn by writing? Yeah. I always like to take notes when I'm listening to something. It helps me learn, helps me remember. So in the study that John Calvin talked about, there were three parts to it, but we'll be looking at two parts in what we're practicing. And the first part is hearing the text and studying the text as an act of prayer, and then the second part will be listening with our lives. I'd like to conclude this section with Calvin's commentary on Psalm 4. He's writing about David. He says, David teaches by example that as often as we are weighted down by adversity or involved in great distress, we ought to meditate on the promises of God, in which the hope of salvation is held out to us, so that defending ourselves by this shield, we may break through all the temptations which assail us. So there are papers, there's a handout at the end of each bench, which if you didn't pick up, if you could pick that up now. If you are short, there's probably other handouts on empty benches. Okay, so this is a little more complex, I guess, than some of the other things that we've been looking at. Like the Jesus Prayer was very, very concise and straightforward. This is a little more detailed. If you look at the page here, it says part one on it. It says study on the one side. It says connect on the second side, back side. That's just a way of me simplifying it by calling it study. Study and connect. So to get into the study of Psalms, there's this paper to sort of act as a guide or a structure or a pathway. Think about your schedule. Set aside a 15-minute block each morning or whatever part of the day works best for you. And you'll need a Bible, a notebook, pen, and a quiet place. Choose a psalm, any of the 150 you want, but you might want to start with a shorter one. Pick the psalm, read through it a few times, and look at the questions. Pick one question from the first section of part one. Then write a sentence or two in your notebook or journal, and then answer a question from each of the other sections. Okay, so you'll see that on this paper there's many questions at each number, and the idea is to pick one question that you feel is most relevant for you out of each section. But don't be religious or compelled to be over thorough about it. If there's something that's not, if maybe none of these fit your psalm very well, so just keep going until you find things that have application. Don't feel compelled to answer questions that aren't relevant to the psalm that you're at. So that's the study portion on the front page. And so you pick the questions that are appropriate, you write about them as part of your study and your prayer. When you have concluded that to your satisfaction, flip the paper. Part two, and sorry I didn't do the copying right, but the face is reversed. But part two is called connect. And so you're moving beyond the study part to the connect part. And similarly, this section is about your life and relating to the psalm, but if you want the psalm to be a prayer of your own and not just from 2,000 years ago or whatever, We have to be able to see ourselves in the situation in the psalm and in the experience of the person who wrote the psalm. So we want to read it and reflect on it and then write a little bit about it. So in part one, the study, and in part two, the connect, we want to remember that the ultimate purpose of the study is an encounter with God. The point is an encounter with God and his presence. It's not just to go scavenging information. It's easy to scavenge information, collect information, but what we really want is we want to launch ourselves with the information closer to God, to draw close to him. And a caution, not to study too long, just keep it 15 minutes or so. And if you don't get finished with the psalm, you can come back to it the next day for more reflection and drawing closer to God. All right, so to kind of review what we talked about this morning, it's in prayer that we communicate with God and we develop a deeper understanding of him, and it's how we draw close to him. And specifically, we talked about the Psalms and how they're so important and about their longevity and their ancient origin. And we learned that they are written across a very broad period of time by multiple authors. And the Psalms are the voice of God's people. They're not the voice of God, but they're the voice of people who love God and seek God. And because they're just folks in many ways, they're like us. And it's our voice, just like their voice from a long time ago. The struggles are real, and they're the same. And the joys are real, and they're the same now as then. We talked about John Calvin, the reformer, and how he stressed the Psalms and prayer. And so we're changing gears, and we're moving into a study style of prayer and worship. So set aside that 15-minute block, pick a psalm, read it, reflect on it, and choose the different questions, and write the response to the question that you chose. And find ways to connect that are meaningful and helpful to you. And as you learn and appreciate the depth of each psalm, as always, feel free to give input and feedback. I'd like to hear what you're thinking, if these things are working for you or not, and to what degree the different methods resonate with you. Give it a fair shot. If it's not your favorite, that's okay. It's a way of helping us move forward and learn. So let's close in prayer together. Heavenly Father, you are holy and creator of all. Thank you for this collection of prayers and songs that show us the heart and humanity of your people and your love for us. From the groans of despair to shouts of praise and proclamation, you are there, the creator of heavens and earth, mountains and seas, awesome in power. Yet you are still the one who listens to our cries and hears our prayers. We can appreciate you in confidence through the mediation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please guide us in this prayer study of Psalms and give us insight and draw us closer to you through it and closer to your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.